Every week, the Orange Fizz team breaks down the five most pressing questions about Syracuse athletics.
Holy cow, what a big time defensive play!
No holds barred.
I pity the fool.
It's the Fizz Five.
Five!
Well, 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 it's another Fizz 5 alongside Dan Shalom. I'm Tyler Aiken. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, final push here in the last week or so in our academic year. So just getting to the finish line, a little burnt out, but hey, can't complain. The weather's nice outside here in the 315, so vibes are high.
It's tough because we're probably entering the time of year where we're most removed from football and basketball season. Like, it's so far behind us and it's still so far ahead of us. But there is still plenty of news to go over and some news that just came out today. That brings us to topic number one.
Number one.
Dakota LaFeu, who at one point was given a 100% crystal ball to commit to Syracuse and has his former head coach as an assistant for the Orange, just committed to Georgia. But I don't feel too worried about it. I'm not that upset about this.
Yeah, no, I wrote an article about this week about how LaFeu needed to come to Syracuse, averaged 17.6 points, 4.3 rebounds, 3.9 assists this past year. Everyone thought it was almost guaranteed that he was going to come with Dan Engelstad being the new assistant coach of the Orange. And he could have helped with the three-point shooting, shot 36% from the field, but decided to go with Georgia after the crystal ball came out, which was surprising. But like you said, TA, not too worried about it because Syracuse just has a lot of other weapons in the arsenal at this point from the portal where they're going to be fine without LaFeu, even though I think they still should have gotten him. It's a big surprise, but they're going to be all right.
Well, there's just another incoming player that we'll be talking about a little bit later in the show. But I guess I am a little bit confused because there's this narrative that Syracuse is short on guards. And I just don't get it. J.J. Starlin. Now you have Jaquan Carlos. Chris Bell, in my opinion, is a guard. You have Elijah Moore. He is a guard. You have Chance Westry coming back. You have Kyle You have six guys that really don't play more than the two. Occasionally, they play the three. In my opinion, it's like that 3-4 spot that Syracuse is the weakest at. Because centers-wise, you got Lampkin, you got Donnie Freeman, you got Naheem McLeod, you've got Jair Davis. But that like 3-4 spot, mainly like the small forward spot, I guess if you line up Chris Bell as the three, then yeah, he's going to play most of the minutes. But just for a team that has six guards that can really play, for there to be a narrative that Syracuse needs guards, I find that kind of weird. Now, is Syracuse?
Yeah, I don't really understand.
Syracuse is super deep. Just doesn't have. Could Syracuse add more top level talent? Yes, Syracuse should get better top level talent. But in terms of another depth guard is going to waste away on the bench on this team.
Yeah, I mean, they basically have their Judah Mintz and Quadir Copeland for next year already, and now Jaquan Carlos, like you said, and J.J. Starling. I mean, they don't really need to add another guard. Sure, LaFeu would have been nice to have, and he's an impact player that could have helped the team. But, I mean, Syracuse has so many guards. They need to add another Chris Bell in the portal. I don't know who that is at this point in time, but they're set at the guard position. They have their starting five for next year. They didn't need LaFeu, still confused on why they didn't get him with Dan Engelstad. And I feel like part of the reason they brought Engelstad in was to land LaFeu.
Well, that's the thing, no? But That's the thing. Why did you bring? Because maybe he's a great coach, and maybe they think that. But in my mind, half the reason he's coming is to bring a key transfer with him. And so what this says is either A, they brought Engelstad in because of LaFeu, or partially because of LaFeu. Pardon me. And that's they failed to bring him in, which is bad.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
the alternative is, hey, maybe they just liked Engelstad as a coach regardless of LaFeu. If that's the case, I'm really confused because looking at his resume, I mean, largely a losing record at a low-level D1 school, that doesn't scream, come be an assistant at Syracuse to me.
No, there were better options available to hire as an assistant head coach. And I think it's safe to say, if you're, Syracuse faithful, that this was kind of a failure of a hire, that LeFou didn't come in because, again, like you said, he doesn't have that great of a resume, hasn't proven that much. The one thing he did prove was that he turned Dakota LeFou into a great player. And now Dakota LeFou is a Georgia Bulldog and not a Syracuse Orange.
Well,
So it's very confusing to me, and it still doesn't make sense.
I don't want to go too far down this coaching rabbit hole, but Siena, who is now led by Jerry McNamara, just brought in a new assistant coach, Arinze Onuwaku. I don't know if that's a name you're familiar with, Dan. He was a
Oh, not me, no.
so he was a very
Not
good big
familiar.
man for Syracuse about 15 years ago. And I've always been big on go outside the Syracuse family. It's time to like create a new legacy. We don't need to go back to the same guys over and over again. But the big thing with Syracuse's assistant coaches is that Syracuse has not had a true big coach for a long time. And if you can bring in a really good forward from Syracuse's past and bring him in as an assistant coach, that would be nice. Arinze Onuwaku doesn't have a ton of coaching experience, but just putting it in your mind, 3 or 4 years down the line, he's a great assistant at Siena. Maybe he hops over to Syracuse in a few years. But now that we're kind of talking about the outgoing players, incoming players, let's talk about that incoming player, Jaquan Carlos, with topic number two.
Number two.
So, Dan, a true point guard on this Syracuse roster now, over six assists per game last year. How about it?
I'm pretty excited about Jaquan Carlos. Led the Hofstra Pride last year in assists. And the thing is, TA, that's top 15 in the country. This guy's going to make an immediate difference on the squad for Syracuse. Didn't play that much in his freshman year, but really developed as time went on. And for this SU team, they need a guy like Jaquan to come off the bench. He could be kind of a Kwadir Copeland in my mind. I don't know if he's necessarily going to be a starting guard on this team, but I feel like he could either fill that six-man role or develop into being a starting point guard on this Orange team. I think he needs a little bit of time, but the potential to grow is definitely there.
I mean, just purely based on positioning, I don't mind him starting alongside JJ. And then your other three spots, there's going to be an odd man out between Chris Bell, Jahir Davis, Donnie Freeman, and Eddie Lampkin. Lampkin's definitely going to start. I guess you just have that one forward that's going to sit. I think he's a great pickup. And I don't have a problem with any of Syracuse's incoming transfers on an individual level. Individually, I'm okay with all of them. But when you tell me that Syracuse is basing a lot of its growth for next year off of transfers from Hofstra and Delaware, I get it. They were great there. But historically, that doesn't scream like, oh my gosh, these guys. Like, there are some people saying, oh, this is a top 25 team all of a sudden. And it's like maybe it develops into that. But you're getting transfers from Mount St. Or you couldn't even pull a Mount St. Mary's transfer. You're
Couldn't
bringing in guys from Delaware and Hofstra and acting like that's going to make this team jump when you're losing Judah Mintz, who's an NBA prospect, and none of these incoming players are that.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, Jaquan Carlos averaged 10 points this season. He really is not the same player as Judah Mintz or even Kwadir Copeland for that matter. But the potential is there. One thing that I'm still worried about while Syracuse has brought in all these transfers is 3-point shooting. They still really don't have an impact player from the portal that can shoot the three. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. They're still missing one of those guys. I mean, LeFou was going to help them. He shot 36% from three. But I mean, hey, Jaquan Carlos is a pass first guy. He's not going to be pulling the three ball that much. We know JJ Starling was not great from the three. Your only 3-point option is really Chris Bell at this
And
point.
that's the thing, because people's standards are dropping too. I mean, I'm seeing people tweeting out like, oh, bring in a point guard that can shoot 30% from three. And it's like, come on, raise your standards. I'm not asking for a Ray Allen, but can a guy hit like 37, 38% of his threes? Can we not ask for that? Can we not ask for that, Dan?
Yeah,
Because,
that's all I want.
well, because that's what last year's roster was supposed to be. It was two guards that can drive and kick, and JJ and Judah, and then you have Taylor and Bell on the wings draining threes, and that didn't happen. But that's the ideal roster construction. You've got like two guys that can get their own shots, You got a center down low, and then you've got two receivers, catch and shoot, like Peter Griffin, corner three, over and over again. That's all we need.
But I don't think you're going to see that this year, to be honest with you. No. And with Eddie Lampkin in there too, it's a totally redesigned offense. They're not going to be playing the style that they did last year. This is a totally different offensive unit than compared to years past.
It's going to be a different look. I just hope that there's some set plays. Can Syracuse please run a set play, please?
I don't know if they really did one last year.
No, I
didn't really.
This is something that's came in from the Boeheim era, where just Syracuse refuses to run set plays. And I get it, free flowing offense usually works, but sometimes you're in an offensive rut and you need to. You're telling me, Eddie Lampkin, Donnie Freeman setting elevator screens at the elbows. They slide in elevator screen, Chris Bell, Treyway from the top of the key. You're telling me that doesn't get you excited? I know it gets
or at just the very least, just give me like a couple pick and rolls. I mean, just something, right?
I mean, that would be nice.
Come on. I mean, we didn't even get that this year. Just give me something.
We're talking about a lot of things that are very nice. However, we have to talk about something not nice. Another player transferred away from Syracuse.
Number three.
William Patterson has departed from the program. Dan, I'm not too surprised.
I'm not too surprised either. I mean, he didn't really get any minutes this past year. The center standing at 7'2". We really didn't see him on the court at all. I mean, he was great. It was a good recruit out of high school, but Adrian Autry really just never played him. So,
well,
not that
big
of
a
loss.
He did use that as a redshirt year.
Yeah, redshirt year. Yeah, sorry.
So, that I was big on that. It's like he didn't play until February. That's when the injury issues came in, and it was like, all right, let's please not waste his redshirt year. I get why he left, because he's not going to play at all this year behind Lampkin and McLeod. But then both of them lose their eligibility after that. And he would be the only center on the roster, and hypothetically as a redshirt sophomore would be getting quite a few minutes. That's the thing about the transfer portal. You don't have guys aren't willing to wait 1 year on the bench for a bunch of playing time after that. They're going to transfer to get a bunch of playing time now, but it changes their situation. I mean, like, you never know what was said behind closed doors about, you know, maybe he was told, hey, even after these guys leave, you're not first in line. But it's, you know, it's a little sad. It's a little sad. It's a sign that, like, you're Jesse Edwards, for example, did not play much his first 2 years. Played a decent amount as a junior, and his senior was his real coming out party. Those players don't really happen anymore because they transfer after their freshman year.
Yeah, it's also all the NIL money now too. A guy like Jesse Edwards, like we saw, left the program to go to West Virginia simply for more money and more playing time. So, I mean, you can't necessarily blame William Patterson for wanting to get playing time this upcoming year after redshirting this year. But I mean, the opportunity is there for whoever Syracuse brings in to take over the role of Eddie Lampkin after this year. So it's bound to be someone, but not going to be William Patterson.
And so Patterson's out. Maybe people have some depth concerns with, you know, only two true centers, but I can see Donnie Freeman sliding over if need be. Syracuse doesn't really go third center all that often. So at the end of the day, everything should be okay, despite Patterson leaving. That wraps up our basketball conversation, but we're going to move over to football, because right now in the Syracuse Twitter sphere, whatever you want to call it, there's a little bit of drama going down. That's topic number four.
Number four.
So Locked On Syracuse, a Syracuse podcast and Twitter account, has recently gotten into a debate with a TikTok college football account, CF Budge. They've been debating Fran Brown and Kyle McCord. And I will say, I don't like the Syracuse homers that rank the Orange all that highly, but CF Budge ranked Kyle McCord as the 11th best quarterback in the ACC, and Fran Brown the 14th best head coach in the ACC. And that feels a little bit silly. A little bit.
I mean, I don't know how a guy who played Big Ten football for Ohio State last year
And threw for 3,000 yards and 24 touchdowns.
And threw for 3,000 yards and was one of the best quarterbacks in that league is not a top 10 quarterback in the ACC, which is significantly worse at football than the Big Ten.
He made an All-Big Ten team.
And he made the All-Big Ten team and then came to Syracuse. Maybe it's doubts about the weapons around him that they're ranking him so low, but it seems disrespectful to a guy who had a pretty amazing year last year in an extremely competitive environment, much more competitive than he'll face this year in the ACC, especially with the weak schedule Syracuse has. I don't know how this guy isn't at least top five, maybe even top three in all of the ACC besides, you know, Clemson and Florida State. I mean, come on.
I mean, that's a pretty easy one to dismiss. Like, that almost seems like a troll rank. The Fran Brown one is interesting because it was specified that the rankings were based around, it was like the ranking is based on not overall career resume, but current impact on the team. And if you're specifying that it's your current impact on the team, how is Fran Brown not a top five coach? He took a team, a program that was dying, It was floundering. It was drowning. Brought in so many transfers, a top quarterback, revitalized the staff, revitalized the NIL, brought in two receivers from Georgia, a really good player from Texas A&M, just added an offensive lineman from Colorado, keeps adding all these players. The Syracuse football would be so different right now if Fran Brown didn't come. And so to say that impact on the team-wise, he's not top 10 in the ACC, come on.
I mean, Tyler, what is Syracuse's ranking for transfer portal this year? What were they?
30.
Like
transfer portal was top 30. I think overall was like 35th.
That's the best numbers that Syracuse has had in years. I mean, come on. You're going to tell me that Fran Brown isn't making an impact more than 13 other coaches in the ACC? He's transformed the entire roster. Him bringing in Kyle McCord should propel him to at least top 10. That itself doesn't make sense to me.
And that's the thing, because it's like Dino Babers was not that good of an on-field coach. So even if Fran Brown isn't a good on-field coach, with the better talent, Syracuse should be better. Now, let's consider the fact that he very well could be a good on-field Syracuse, and the crazy thing is CF Budge has been making like bold predictions throughout the offseason. He made one video like Syracuse is a dark horse ACC like champion and therefore college football playoff team. You can't say that Syracuse has a chance at making the ACC championship game, but then also they have not a top 10 quarterback or coach in the conference. That just makes no sense.
That's just absurd. I mean, if you look up and down the conference, Syracuse has to be top 10. And with the weak schedule that they have coming up, they're going to be at least top 10, top 5 in the ACC when things are all said and done. Sure, we haven't seen Fran Brown's on-field, but if his off-field recruiting is anything like his on-field coaching, then Syracuse is set up for success. I mean, he's most definitely right now a top 10 ACC coach. That baffles me.
And so Jackson Holzer, Locked On Syracuse, we stand with you. You were right, and glad you had that debate. Moving on from basketball to football, and now we'll finish things up with lacrosse. That's topic number five.
Number five.
Syracuse men's lacrosse headed to the ACC tournament next week. As we are recording this video, the ACC rankings are still shaking out, so not sure who Syracuse is going to play. On the women's side, Syracuse just had probably the most dominant win ever in the ACC tournament over Virginia yesterday. It was 19-4. Was that the final score?
Yeah, 19-4. Yeah.
19-4 against the sixth ranked team in the country. Wow.
I mean, the Syracuse women's team, Tyler, is, I feel the energy. They've been lackluster in the ACC tournament the past few years, but this year it seems like a totally new transformed team in the ACC tournament.
But who's coming up in the championship game?
Austin College is coming up in the championship.
Austin College, the team that Syracuse has not been able to beat.
They're kryptonite in literally every sense of the word. They have not been able to get past Boston College, lost in overtime to them this season, struggled against them in the playoffs every single year. But I feel like there could be some change on the horizon for Kayla Trainor's squad. They played them really hard up in Chestnut Hill, only lost by a goal, and had an opportunity to win the game when Emma Tyrell just pulled the shot over the net. I mean, if she was literally point blank, if she just slots that home, this is a totally different narrative going into the championship.
Lots of ifs, ands, and buts I'm hearing right there. Lots of ifs, ands, and buts.
It,
a
it's
prediction
true.
For
lots of it.
A prediction?
I think that they'll get past them. I'm gonna go 13-12 SU in the championship.
Okay. And for the
what about you?
For the men's, I'll get to that. For the men's team, how far does Syracuse win the semifinal round, losing the championship, go all the way, lose right away?
Okay, so you might laugh at me here, but Gary Gates squad 1-8 in games after a week plus off. They've beaten Duke and Virginia this season by large amounts, or no, but they beat Virginia only by one goal. So I think if they get Virginia, I don't think they're going to be able to get past them twice. Duke, that was a game where they just locked down defensively 10-4. I don't think the Blue Devils are going to let that happen again. I don't really trust Gary Gate that much in big games. He's proved it a little bit this season, but in years past, it's been iffy. So I'm going to say that Syracuse bows out in the semifinals of the ACC tournament, but they're still going to get an NCAA tournament bid. So they could still win the Natty, of course.
All right. Women's lacrosse for tomorrow, I will say 15-13 Boston College.
Okay.
I know Syracuse just had a great performance, but until I see Syracuse beat Boston College, I won't believe it. And then, unfortunately, I have my broadcaster's exception. I cannot make a prediction for the ACC tournament. But I think you're being a little low on Syracuse, and that's all I'll say. That's all either of us are going to say. We're going to wrap things up here. But as always, thanks for listening, and go Orange.
And that's your Fizz Five. Listen next week. Subscribe, rate, and review. This has been an Orange Fizz production.